Matt Spears and Glenn Coble back with you here on this Wednesday, September 22nd, 2021, the first day of autumn, depending on who you listen to. If you listen to the meteorologist and Mother Nature, temperature-wise, today is the first day of autumn. If you listen to me, it was yesterday and the rest of the free world. 9:22:21, 15 minutes past the hour. And today we're delving again into the Geraldo Journal. And earlier, Glenn Coble, by the way, is feverishly sending out an email to rob@wtam.com to get Geraldo on the show. That's rob@wtam.com. And I believe on the line we have a gentleman who called in earlier this morning, one of our dear friends, the legendary Thunderbolt Patterson. Thunderbolt, how are you?
Very good, sir. And you?
Doing well. Did you watch that video?
Yes, I did.
Tell people what video I sent you.
About the Geraldo, about the scandal there in New York of Vince McMahon and the homosexual, the advances, the firing people from work, and just a lot of mess, man.
And Geraldo was on top of that.
On top of the whole thing. And that was years ago. See, understanding now, that has been going on a long time. Scott, understand me. From 1975, when I first ran a show at the Omni in Atlanta, I would have been an instant promoter. At 8:30, they had $36,000 in the till. Marta, Omni, and Techwood Street was all full of people. And that was a time when the Sheik and Joyce was determinated from the National Wrestling Alliance, and I was blackballed. And I went on the Martin Downey Show in 1981 with Jim Wilson, and I found out just a few months ago that Hulk Hogan was the individual that put all of that to Vince, because we were trying to get a union and a retirement and more money for the individual workers. Now, I was out of all of that. And thank God I was. Never was approached by any of that. But I've heard a lot of things. I've seen a lot of interviews and people talking about that. And see, there's a lot more to this now, because as you see on that Mark Downey show, I tried to tell everyone. I called Jesse Jackson's name. And Martin Downey said, we're not going to make this no racial thing because he wants to. Well, I want it to be fair for everybody. John Lewis knew about it. Dr. Joe Lowry knew about it. And I gave Jesse Jackson every proof in his hand. And he didn't say any more to me from that day to this one. And individuals have sued and sued, and individuals had come to me to help, for me to help them, and I've been treated, it's unreal. But you and him, you're right on it, man. There is a whole lot of corruption. And I was shut down. And what I saw that you sent me today confirmed all of the things. You know, I only met Bruno once. Bruno has confirmed a lot of it. And also, not only that, but even in one of Vince McMahon's interview doing about all of this scandal that he didn't know about. He say he admitted that the racism, but he just said it one time, but they even said that there was no racism. They used individuals that would go along with, and he's still doing that in the sense of lying, the great lie. So many individuals are lying about so many different things to cover up what Vince McMahon and all of those other bad promoters has been doing. I've been trying to tell the world of this, but they didn't recognize me at all because I guess I was of another color. And nobody would pay me any attention. Now, all of these years, I've been abused, swept under the rug, looked over, no job, nothing dealing with the wrestling business except what I've done on my own and a couple, two or three of the fan fests I did have the opportunity to go to. But they have them all, every day, all over. Just as that gentleman asked me, had I ever been to Chicago? Well, there's so many places that I didn't get the opportunity. I drew as much or more money than most individuals there. And all they deal with is the belts and the big money of individuals that go along with their program.
So Thunderbolt, at this point, one more time, because it's all happening here in Ohio. Geraldo's here, I'm here, it's all coming to a head. Speak to Geraldo again and tell him why he should come on this show and why you should meet up with Geraldo as well.
Well, it's the main thing, it's already planned. When I say planned, God don't make mistakes. From the beginning of time, all of these things that is on the fans has nobody to speak for them. When I spoke for them, they put me down because of my color. You picked me up. You tried to help me. We tried to keep on going, but still, the big money, the deep pockets, the liars and haters has been able to suppress the only two in this country at this time that is capable is Scott, you and Mr. Geraldo.
Well, thank you, Thunderbolt. And Thunderbolt, you're going to be in touch with the Geraldo office tomorrow, what'd they say, 9:55 to 10:05, if you give them a call?
Yes, they told me that the only way I could talk to somebody is maybe 10 minutes before 10, 5 minutes before 10, or 5 minutes after, and I certainly will be calling at that time.
Perfect. And let us know what happens, Thunderbolt. We'll be looking forward to it. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
The pleasure is mine. Heaven high to everybody, giving God all the praise and glory. And Ronaldo, this is something that God has in the makings. You are the man that has been put in this position. This is a purpose. And thank God for Jesus, and thank you, sir, because I know you never run from a battle.
Thank you, Thunderbolt.
Have a good day.
See, now, Glenn, there's trouble now for old Geraldo.
We got God on our side.
I'll tell you what, he's picked a fight he didn't want to pick.
No.
It's ordained now, Glenn.
Well, I just sent a note to Rob, his agent, whatever he is, and I told him all the different, or several of the different people that you've interviewed, said you would interview him in a respectful and honest way, and he needed to get in touch with the station, or even I gave him my personal phone.
You're gonna run interference on this.
I'm gonna give a try.
Well, because you're gonna say Geraldo, because we've got to give him an olive branch. You know, Geraldo, come on my show, and then I'll come on your show.
Okay.
Simple as that.
I'm just waiting for the phone call.
And then Thunderbolt will come in from Iowa. He'll be here for it. You're going to contact
the
mayor.
And you're paying for his lunch, too?
Well, I don't really know how this all will come to pass, but I'm just saying Thunderbolt will come in.
Yeah.
And then you're going to contact the mayor and make it Geraldo Day when he rolls in here.
We'll give it a try.
You've said you'll drive up there and get him. I'll tell you, that day we'll get old Golden Voice to announce him that day.
Oh, that'd
be now here's Geraldo.
Yeah.
It's going to be big. Glenn, okay. This is really the Talk Mania. This is the biggest event in talk radio in the history of talk radio, really.
Well, it's something.
Well, don't overstate it, Glenn.
It's kind of fun to do.
Now, has anybody called Geraldo, the station up there, or has anybody heard anything back from Rob or emailed? Let us know. We'd love to hear. 740-383-9944. Now, the ones who have really fallen down on the job here are those Boston Pinheads. They've just evaporated.
I feel bad for them because they're from the home country of my mother. And they didn't follow through.
I think they probably got scared of Geraldo, that Geraldo would, you know, really put their lights out if they messed with
him. That's Boston, I think, calling right now.
All right, go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears. So, do you think Mr. Grant is in heaven, broadcasting heaven, jealous that he's no longer the number one event in your illustrious life, that this could actually eclipse that?
Well, I don't know if that was the number one event. I certainly enjoyed Ed Asner, but, you know, Phil Donahue in the Penthouse was pretty big. I don't know if this will eclipse it. All I'm saying is that this is a groundswell movement of the people, Sam Donaldson and Thunderbolt Patterson. And people better take note now.
Yeah, I wonder what Phil thinks. I mean, he's certainly up there in major radio events in your lifetime or others, but let's get it done first. It seems so obvious to me. It's not asking a lot. You're willing to be on his show. That'll certainly be a spectacle.
And his show needs help. I mean, let's be honest. He needs me on his show.
Nobody
even knows he's on. I mean, he hasn't got this kind of publicity in years.
He could be the voice of reason. Okay, well, see what you can do, but Thunderbolt is certainly trying. I mean, I think between him and Sam, what else are you going to ask for? I mean, I guess you could ask Phil and see if he can. I don't think Phil likes Geraldo. We talk about different sides of the political spectrum, but you can always try. I think Dick Cavett would probably be helpful because he's pretty neutral. I think everybody likes him.
Dr. Feynman.
Might be another avenue for you.
But Thunderbolt has brought down God. How can he get any higher than that?
Yeah, I think he's spoken to the man himself.
Okay, we went straight to the high authority here.
Very entertaining. I mean, it's been a one-topic, four-hour show, but it's been entertaining nonetheless.
Hey, it's better than some of the shows we've done around here, I'll tell you that.
I would probably say. Okay,
thank you.
See you later, guys.
Bye-bye. All right, I'm telling you, Glenn, biggest event ever to hit Marion since President Harding's inaugural.
You think?
Well, it's my opinion.
How about Mary Ellen's appointment?
Well, that happened in D.C.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like to have her in here on this deal, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she knows who he is.
Well, who doesn't know Geraldo?
Yeah, that's a good question. I imagine everybody.
Well, he's like a name like Cher. There's only one Geraldo.
That's right. That's true.
What did Thunderbolt call him? Ronaldo.
Ronaldo.
It doesn't matter. We know who we're talking about here. We know. All right. What a day.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Now all we need your buddy Dr. Feynman on this.
I'll bring it up. Dr. Feynman's probably listening.
Now, what do you mean you'll bring it up?
Well,
you got to get on board. You've emailed Glenn.
I'm not a pushy guy.
Well, we're not being pushy.
Oh, yes, you are.
No. We're keeping a journalist's journal here.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. That's a nasty-looking journal, but...
Whatever. It'll be at the Historical Society long after we're all gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure of that. Yeah.
Okay, again, one last time, the number up there, 216-520-2600, the address 6200 Oak Tree Boulevard, 4th floor, Cleveland, Ohio, 44131, or Rob with 1B at WTAM.com. So there
I'll,
you go.
I'm having Fred Malone back on, what is it, the third Thursday of this next month. I'll ask him where they're going to put this journal in a place of honor. When
well, it'll need to be in a glass case.
I think that's probably a good idea.
it will have to be in a glass case encompassed airtight for years to come.
Yeah, and maybe you could get even Geraldo to sign it.
Well, that's what I think. I think that'll be the culmination of all this.
I think so, yeah.
Big time.
Have your signature right next to his signature.
And we'll date it.
Date it, yeah. And I'll take pictures.
There you go. It's going to be big. All right, if anybody, we know we had, I think Charlene, one of our listeners, was going to try to get through. Has anybody gotten through to WTAM up there? Are they even in business?
I bet they've all gotten the same cold shoulder that I got.
Well, we need some information here. 740-383-9944. Now, in our remaining 30 minutes here today, Glenn, what's on your agenda?
Well, Dr. Feynman and I are going to talk. Let me go back. You threw that at me too fast. I didn't have it.
It was
ready.
A real fastball.
What can I say? Here it is. What are we going to talk about today? Okay, we're going to talk about see more here. The speech that President Biden gave for the UN. We're going to talk about the Haitian migrants all underneath that huge bridge. Have you seen those pictures? It's kind of sad. Down in Texas, they're waiting. I guess they're waiting to be processed as immigrants, but. Don't think a lot of them are going to get that. As a matter of fact, they've already flown several of them back to Haiti. We're going to talk about the Canadian election. We're probably going to talk about the struggles of the Democrats to overcome the obstruction that's going on by the GOP right now. And we're going to talk about the Alabama birth versus death rate, which is kind of scary. So those are some of the things that we're going to talk about.
Well, it's an interesting time, that's for sure.
It is an interesting time. You can't say it isn't. I was talking to my wife last night, and I said, you know, we're getting to the age where we can see the corner. We haven't gotten there yet, but we can see the corner at the end of the block. And I'm glad that we're going to be rounding that corner before the next group of terrible things happen. We've had so many terrible things happen this past 2 years.
Well, it's been a very strange 2 years.
Yes.
I don't know that we'll ever experience anything like this again, because the first time something happens, and it's not the first pandemic we've had happen, but it's the first pandemic we've ever had happen during the age of modern technology. And that will never happen again. And I don't know if it'll be anything like this, because you can't say that technology and false information has not played a huge part in this.
It has. Yep.
So I don't think this will ever happen again. I don't think it'll ever happen quite this way again.
I asked my wife, I said, do you think the past 2 years have been better or worse than, or have they been worse than any other time that we've been alive? Now, my wife and I are both 75. The only time that we could remember that was worse or that was scarier, the missile crisis down in Cuba, and the 1968 election time. That was pretty rough. Neither one of us were together at those times. We were individuals, but I was in some of the riots during 68 and 69. So.
Well, but
and in the Army.
This is so individual, though. I mean, even during those events, you could go to the grocery store, you could visit your friends, you could... It just had a different feel. This is so get up any day can be anything.
Yeah,
and that's the weird part.
This is more depressing than those times.
And it's continual.
Yeah. And the thing that's so depressing to me is that there are so many people that are just not facing facts.
Well, I'm so interested in the governor's race that's going to be going on next year, and it looks like it's going to be going on during this pandemic.
It's getting scarier, isn't it? I mean, for the present governor.
Well, yeah, he's in big trouble, I think.
I think he is, too. And it's getting worse.
And the polls that I've seen, and not a whole lot have been run, but in his own party, see, here's going to be the problem in this whole thing, and I had this conversation the other day. DeWine is actually behind in the primary. That's unbelievable to me that a sitting governor is behind in his own primary.
That's scary.
I'm not talking in the main. I'm talking in the primary.
Yep.
And nobody has primaried a sitting governor in Ohio in 130 years. So you've got DeWine, who is in terrible trouble. Even if he wins, he has no... Here's the problem with this particular race, okay? Renacci's the one who's leading right now in all these primaries. Okay, the Renacci group is so far to the right that that's big with the Ohio legislature, and that's big with the Republicans, but you're not going to get a single Democrat or a single moderate Republican to vote for you.
Well, maybe a few moderate Republicans.
Very few.
But not very,
very few.
And it's kind of like the Arkansas or the Alabama of the North right now.
Well, and if DeWine wins, I don't think you're going to get a single group that voted for Renacci, which will be a large group, well over 25%, I believe, even if he does lose. You'll never get them to vote for DeWine because they think he has betrayed them. So there's no way he wins the main. DeWine can slug it out in the...
Yeah, it kind of depends on who the Democrats pick to run against.
See, I think it doesn't. Because I think...
You think Nan Whaley will...
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with Nan Whaley. I think there's...
She's a female. This is an old man, white...
Well,
state.
Here's the thing. I don't think there's a Democrat who would vote for Renacci. So if Renacci gets the nod, the Democrat wins. The Democrat could be Daffy Duck. The Democrat would win.
I'm going to run for it, then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a very interesting thing. And I'm really surprised that the Democrats are only running two people right now. Cranley and Nan Whaley.
Yeah.
And they've only caught till December to get somebody in there.
I think it kind of shows the weakness of the development of the Democratic Party in the state of Ohio. Surely we could have more than just two good candidates.
Yeah, but you would think, I mean, last time we had Rich Cordray and we had Dennis Kucinich. Kucinich had a huge name recognition, and Cordray wasn't far behind him in that. They both were stronger candidates than Nan Whaley, a mayor, which is really all she's pretty much done.
Yeah, I know. There were about four or five candidates, all of which were probably close to Nan Whaley as far as recognition.
Which is why it's so peculiar to me that in this year, next year, of such a division in the Republican Party, that they would not be running, more people wouldn't be running for that position.
Do you think Republicans will just stay home, or will they vote for... I don't think they'll vote for the Democratic candidate.
No,
so I think they'll stay home.
If truth be told, the last Democratic election, I believe Rich Cordray ended up losing by about 5%.
Yeah.
So if that's the makeup of Ohio, that there are 5% more Republicans who turn out to vote, which is a pretty good indication. Kasich won two terms here.
I think that's probably an incorrect statement. I really think there were probably more Democrats than you think, but because of gerrymandering, it looks smaller.
But the governor's race is not gerrymandered. The governor's race
that's
is
true.
Right.
Yeah.
So if that's the true makeup, because neither one was an incumbent, both were fairly well known. People thought Cordray was going to win. If that's really where Ohio is, and that was under Donald Trump as president, if that really is the makeup, that it's like 52 to 47 Republican, well, this time, I believe that 47% Democrat isn't going anywhere, but that 52% Republican is going to be broken, I'm not going to say down the middle. It's going to be so highly fractured because no Renacci voter is going to vote for Mike DeWine. And no Mike DeWine voter is, they might vote for Renacci, but certainly not the bulk.
Yeah, so they'll stay home.
Right, so the Democrat has got a very good chance. And I can't see a sitting governor who wanted a second term, if he does lose the primary, endorsing the man who beat him.
I was watching a show, I think it was Ohio's, it was Ohio's show on NPR yesterday or the day before, and they said right now, and this is with gerrymandering, this is not the governmental or the government, governor's office, but right now, Democrats only have 42% of the vote. That's very minor, and I can't. And I think that kind of we're probably still about the same level for the governor.
Well, I don't. I don't watch the bill.
46.
Well, I don't watch the Bill Maher show, but I he said something last Friday night, I guess, on his show that I thought was kind of interesting. It was on a lot of news sites the next day that these people who are called woke Democrats are actually hurting the Democratic Party right now.
Most of us who are Democrats don't want to be called woke. Well, because woke is kind of a snooty term, like I'm woke and I'm alive and you're not.
The clip that I saw, because I did not see the Bill Maher show, but the clip that I saw in the story that I read, basically Bill Maher was alluding to the fact that, and he's a Democrat,
yeah,
was that these Democrats who think that America is racist, who think that women aren't getting a fair shake, who think that all Republicans are stupid, that Donald Trump was stupid, that's what woke, in that woke to those ideas, woke to things that heretofore Democrats have not been aware, or at least not gun control, things of that nature, abortion, and that the problem with that is that when you continue to draw those hard lines, that there are Democrats who are put off by that, and all Republicans are put off by that, and it's going to be very hard to win an election when you're constantly telling people they're wrong.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I've told other friends of mine who are running for office, is try not to tell other people they're doing wrong stuff or they're thinking wrong-headed. Tell them what you'll do for them.
Well, here's the problem. This is why the term, I don't know if I've ever actually gotten into why I don't like the term disgraceful. But here's the problem. It's become a political term. I mean, that's where people I see use it all the time. Right.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. Okay, let's say, referring back to the Bill Maher thing, let's say you're a Democrat and you believe that the United States is racist, that you believe that we do need gun rights, we need to get rid of some gun rights, we need gun control, that you believe that we are a male-driven society. And I'm not saying these things are wrong, but this is what you believe. And then everybody who disagrees with you is a disgrace. And that's what it is. That's a woke Democrat. Well, the problem is your rhetoric is so nasty and so hateful toward whoever you think is a disgrace, that you're turning off people who don't even like that person because you're being so fervent. And you don't have to believe it, but we're seeing it all across the country.
I don't know any Democrat that is as black and white as you're making them.
Oh, I do. Oh, I hear them all the time.
I don't know any, but maybe I just know woke people. And not only that, but most people who are good-thinking people wouldn't use the term woke because it's grammatically incorrect.
But it's become a slang term.
It's a slang term. I know it is. I was just being silly. I hope that the Democratic Party understands how to win this time, there is so much hatred on both sides, quite frankly, that this is not thinking about the election. This is thinking about my team or your team.
But I'll tell you what's different. And I'm sorry we've been drawn into these camps in this country, but the Republicans are far more issue-oriented. And what I mean to say by that is, if you look at...
They're more black and white, for sure. They see things as that's good and that's bad. They don't see things as
right, but they're not attacking the whole. Very rarely do I hear them say everybody else is wrong.
I've heard a lot of people, and I've even been called communist or socialist, as if that's bad and you're bad.
No, I'm saying I rarely hear. DeWine's a great example of this. DeWine was backed by President Trump. A big rally in the last gubernatorial race up in Cleveland that probably did put him over the top. He met with Trump during the early days of the vaccine when DeWine was being lauded for all the things he did. But that's look at DeWine. He appealed to a lot of Democrats. I know Governor Strickland. I know Mary Ellen Withrow, who were both high office holders here in Ohio. That's a former governor, and that's a former treasurer of the state of Ohio.
And the United States.
Who both said during that pandemic that they supported Governor DeWine, and that you would not hear a Republican do that. They're different.
I will beg to differ with you. I'm sure that Mary Ellen would have been a much higher supporter of the Democratic candidate for governor.
I'm not saying they would have voted for DeWine. I'm just saying they said very positive things about him.
And I think a lot of people also said Democrats said positive things about Kasich.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because both of them were quite moderate Republicans.
But they didn't want them.
Well, no, because it was the other side. But they were satisfied with at least there'll be good people in the office. We don't have a lot of good people in offices right now.
But the Republicans are different in that. And we saw that in...
Republicans hate you if you're on the other side of the aisle.
Well, I just don't...
It's black and white.
I don't think they'll vote for a Democrat, and I think that's the problem we're having.
I read, and I think I've mentioned it on the air that I read an article about how different minds work different ways, and people that tend to be Republican or conservative are black and white people, and there's good reason to be black. We need black and white we also need the other side.
Here's an example. The Democrats lose a lot of ground every time we've had a Supreme Court nomination under Trump, because these hearings are on television, and a lot of people are turned off by the way they quit. That whole Kavanaugh thing, holy mackerel, that was so...
He turned me off, not,
I understand.
Not the interviews.
I get that, but you probably would not have been for his beliefs from day one, no matter what he did.
I didn't know what his beliefs were because he was telling fibs.
Well, we know now where he falls on issues.
Sort of.
And I think if you're appointed, we can all pretend we don't know. If you're appointed by a Republican president, you've been vetted. We know why you're being accepted, and we know why the Senate will confirm you.
Mm-hmm.
We know what your beliefs are on abortion. We know what your beliefs are on gun rights. And the Democrats, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg was not pro-life.
No, she was pro-life. She wasn't pro-anti-abortion.
Okay, well, there's that. She was pro-choice. That's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bill Clinton didn't pick her not knowing that. And...
I'm sure of that.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. You know, you don't even have to put the name with it. You know, on the big issues of our time, that the Supreme Court decides pretty much where these people stand when they get nominated, or they wouldn't have been nominated by that person. That's why Garland was held off by...
Yeah.
Right.
By,
no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons why we have so much hatred right now between Democrats and Republicans, is because of the cheating that goes on to get their person in place.
But what I'm saying, the problem is every time that has happened in the last 30 years, and we started with, there was Bork, maybe more than 30 years. Bork, there was Clarence Thomas, there was Kavanaugh. That's always been a Republican nominee for the Supreme Court that the Democrats tried to stop because of something they did in their personal life. Now, were any of them ever tried for anything? Were any of them ever charged with anything? They didn't want them there.
No, they had ways to avoid getting charged. Now, I would venture to say that if Kavanaugh was a general, run-of-the-mill, African-American person, and he had done what he did to the young lady, I can't remember her name, he would be in jail right now. We jail people based on your social status.
Well, I guess my point is that in the modern media age, and I'm going to say since 1980, where there are newspapers, television, internet, radio stations all running at the same time, is there one, and we've had Democratic appointed Supreme Court justices, is there one that was ever held like Bork, Thomas, or Kavanaugh, held up like that, or questioned like that?
I can't answer that.
I don't think so.
I'm not a student of the...
I'm
not going to answer you because I don't know.
Well, I don't know of any, and if there is one, somebody tell me.
Well, yeah, I can't answer you because I don't know.
Because it just seems...
I won't lie about it.
Well, no, it just seems to me that the Republicans kind of concede that this is the president, he's got the votes in the Senate, and that's the way it goes. It seems to me that...
I don't think they've conceded that at all.
Well, they didn't... They knew what Ruth Bader Ginsburg was. That was under Clinton. We know that for sure. And they could not stop her, and I don't remember her questioning being all that vicious. And I don't remember her...
She was a thoughtful person. She was not a vicious
person. Well, see, I think that's the crux right now of the Democratic Party, because I remember there was somebody on this show who I'm not going to bring up, but she came on during the time of the Kavanaugh hearings and was so, I didn't say this term, but we had emails at that time, just that she was so shrill on that subject. And other women were saying this.
They were very angry at what Kavanaugh did. And many women have gone through that. And I've talked to a lot of women that have gone through that. And I had to look back in my life and make sure I wasn't one of those people that did that sort of thing to women. And I'm not so certain I convinced myself I wasn't.
Oh, and I'm not saying that it's right if it happened. I'm just saying that...
I think it was pretty sure it happened, but go ahead.
But these are the tribes that people are now in, and if you know that that person's going to be confirmed, it's like the Republicans right now. The Republicans who did not support Trump or voted for his impeachment, they're just leaving.
Yeah.
Being beaten.
We just lost an Ohio, was he a senator? I can't remember. Last week, because he just can't put up with the way the Republican Party is treating other people, and he's a Republican.
Right, but I don't know why there isn't more.
Oh, there are a lot, and it's a trickle, but there was no one that was doing that before Trump.
Oh, this is Bill Maher's point, and I think he has a point, because he is somebody who wants the Democrats to win. He is somebody who's pro-choice, Bill Maher. He is somebody who has a big media platform, but I think he's starting to realize that all of this wokeness that we hear about is just, if you get on every week on CNN or whatever, because they interview the same people all the time, or Fox News, or MSNBC, and you get on and you're an elected official and you do nothing but trash certain people, it makes your people happy, but it does not make the other people happy, and it turns you off.
Now I'm trying to decide whether you're talking about the Democrats or Republicans, because the Republicans and the Democrats, some Democrats, are doing that all the time. The Republicans, they don't say anything about policy or thoughtful things. All they do is trash people.
Well, I guess here's my point. We know who a lot of Democrats feel are disgraces in the Republican Party. And they say it a lot. I mean, I could point out names. Ted Cruz, he's a big target for them. Donald Trump is a big target for them. Who else is some of their big targets right now? Those are two of the biggest. Well, they're national. Jim Jordan is a big target of theirs. Okay, there's three. Now, who are the big targets for the Democrats that Republicans will go on television and say they're a disgrace.
Speaker of the House.
She does get a lot of anger. Yes.
And now they're doing it about Biden. Now they're doing it about, now I can't remember his name. Well, anyway, there are several of the Democrats that they're attacking.
It'll be interesting because it seems to me that everybody is going further and further away from the middle on both sides.
On my show, I say to people, you've got to use your brains, not your mouth, not your hatred. Use your brains. Think about things before you call other people bad stuff. I've gotten notes, or I've gotten a couple of people that have unfacebooked me because I admitted that I was an atheist. And I know this doesn't sound very nice, but I would venture to say I'm a far kinder and better person than many of these people that hate me.
I guess what I'm talking about is the attitude of, if you like us, you like us. If you don't, I don't care. You know, that's okay in theory, but the problem is you're trying to get votes.
That's anti-American to say something like that. We should run, the United States of America should be run by the majority, which it's not right now. It's being run by the Republicans, who are not the majority, and it should be run on each man gets his vote, or each woman gets her vote, or each aardvark gets its vote, whoever has the right to vote. And we're trying to take that away from a lot of people. So, I don't know.
We'll see how it all turns out.
You've hit me in a really sore spot.
No, I just, I wonder what will happen. I like watching the parade of life. I'm highly interested in people.
Well, I'm glad you're going to get to watch, because I'm glad I'm getting out.
Well, see, that's exactly it. It didn't used to be this way, the point. That's the point I'm making. I think that's the point Bill Maher was making. I think that's the point a lot of people are trying to make.
And Bill Maher is being attacked from both sides
right now. Right. Well, because he made that comment, a lot of Democrats really did not like that.
He makes a lot of comments that Democrats don't like, so therefore, I like him. And matter of fact, I'll try to get Mike Larson on. Mike used to be a writer for Bill, and see where he stands on things like this.
It's interesting to watch because it will eventually end. Because what eventually will happen is both will self-destruct. And eventually is you're going to have independent candidates who people give their money to, and in politics that seems to be the name of the game.
If we could get money out of politics, we wouldn't have this problem, but we don't.
And that's the way that one goes. But it's fascinating to me. It used to be, if you go back and watch CNN or a lot of these channels, 20, 30 years ago, they really did have pundits who came on and talked about the issues.
Yeah, and you knew where they stood.
But they also, I mean, I remember when the first Bush, CNN was around in those days, I remember when the first Bush was running against Clinton, I remember many Democratic pundits who wouldn't have cast a vote for George H.W. Bush to save their life, condemning Bill Clinton for his suspected extramarital affairs, they were suspected at that time, extramarital affairs, that Hillary was too pushy, that they were a dirty trick campaign to get rid of Jerry Brown, that Jerry Brown was Mr. Nice Guy. You know, they were able to criticize their own without criticizing George Bush. Now it seems like you've got to criticize the opposite side, even if you're criticizing your own, because if you don't, they'll get a leg up.
Well, I think the reason why there's so much criticism right now is we went through 4 years of a man that told, 350,000 lies, 35,000 lies in his presidency, and I'm sure a lot more than that, but I think if we are basing our society on lies, and unfortunately, there are people on the Democratic side of the aisle that are doing the same thing. If we're going to base our society on lies, we don't deserve to be a society. We need to be overrun by the Russians or the Chinese or whatever.
But you know, in the end, we all survive.
No, that's not true.
We don't?
Well, it may not be true. Let's put it that way. We haven't seen the end yet, but
I don't know. I hope so.
I hope for your sake so. I just hope I go quietly in my sleep.
I don't know. It's interesting to me that
boy, you got me depressed.
This depressed you?
Oh yeah.
Bill Maher, and it just started with a Bill Maher show observation. And heaven knows I've never watched that show.
I watch Bill Maher. I used to watch it a lot more than I watch it now. I only watch tidbits now.
Well, Glenn is coming up next with Dr. Fine. Yeah. We're out of time for this morning.
All right.
Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte.